Perek Lamatet, chapter 39, is the last of the narrative chapters in this section of Sefer Yeshayahu. It relates a rather sad story, but it, in many ways epitomizes a major theme in these chapters in Yeshayahu. The theme, one of the central themes in Sefer Yeshayahu, has been the idea of thanks of reliance on God in political affairs and thanksgiving to God when He saves one from danger. One has to have a certain level of reliance on God in political affairs. This parak, chapter 39, relates in an episode in which Chizkiyahu, the king who has been the topic of the last four chapters, fails in his reliance on God. This is the chapter of Chizkiyahu making an alliance with Marduk Apla Idina, the king of Babel. Now he's known in Tanakh as Merodach Baladan, which is a sort of corruption of the Babylonian name Marduk Apla Idina, and he's a king who we know about historically. He is the king of the kingdom of Babel. Now, we think of Babel as a very powerful kingdom, and certainly in certain periods in history, Babel was a powerful kingdom. But in this point in time, despite being historically important and religiously central to the life of the Mesopotamian people, Babel was a very small kingdom located in the south part of what is today Iraq. The powerful kingdom in the region was the kingdom in the north part of what's today Iraq, the kingdom of Assyria, Ashur. Babel was a kingdom which tried to break away from Assyria, which tried to expel the Assyrians and allow itself to continue an independent life, and this was a process which the Assyrians did not particularly support, and the Assyrians continuously pounded away and tried to conquer Babel. Now, the principle of this parak is the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Both Merodach Baladan, the king of Babel, and Chizkiyahu, king of Yehuda, were enemies of Assyria. And the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Let us make an alliance between us. That was the idea here of this alliance. The precise historical period when this alliance took place is somewhat debated. Is it immediately before the battles of Sancheriv against Yehuda? Is it quite a bit before? Is it slightly after? It's not entirely clear the exact years when this alliance took place. We can locate with a fair degree of certainty the years when Merodach Baladan is king of Babel, but there are two different periods when he's king of Babel, and it's not clear which of these periods this belongs to. Nevertheless, the central message is not historical, but rather theological. So let us look at the process of making the alliance and the views of the Navi about this alliance. Ba'etahi shalach Merodach Baladan Ben Baladan, Melech Babel, Sfarim u'Mincha el Chizkiyahu, Vayishma ki chala vayechezak. So at that time, Merodach Baladan, we said this before, his real name is Marduk Apla Idina, the king of Babel, sends messages and a present to Chizkiyahu. The immediate context here in the Navi is given as Vayishma ki chala vayechezak. He heard that he had become ill and he became strong again. Chizkiyahu was very, very happy about these messages and this present, and he shows the messengers vayar'em et beit nechoto, et hakesef ve'et hazahav ve'et habesamim ve'et hashemen hatov ve'et kol beit kelav ve'et kol asher nimtza be'otzrotav. Lo haya davar asher lo her'am Chizkiyahu beveito uvechol memshalto. Chizkiyahu rejoices about this message. He shows the messengers what? It is a very long and detailed list of what he shows the messengers. He shows them the house of his storehouses, where he keeps his treasures, his silver, his gold, the spices, which are very valuable, the shemen hatov, the good oils, which are also a valuable commodity at that period, v'et kol beit kelav, all his vessels and tools, v'et kol asher nimtza be'otzrotav, all that was kept in the storehouses. Lo haya davar asher lo her'am Chizkiyahu beveito uvechol memshalto. There was nothing in Chizkiyahu's house and in all his kingdom that he did not show them. Now, what is the significance of this showing? Well, we've seen elsewhere in Tanakh, in the story of Achav, Sefer Melachim, that the process of opening up your storehouses to a foreign king is a sign of submission to that king. Sign of saying, you can take whatever you want, I'm your friend, take whatever you want from my royal storehouses. And to some extent, this act here has to be understood in that context. Chizkiyahu doesn't show these people his storehouses simply in order to give them a tour of a museum. He shows these people his storehouses in order to indicate that he's forming an alliance with them. He trusts them. He says to them, I am, all my resources, all my vast resources of my kingdom are at your power. Now there's a certain amount of self-vaunting, or schwitzing as we say, that Chizkiyahu was doing here. He's showing these people how much gold and silver he has. He's showing them that he really is a very valuable ally. Look at King Chizkiyahu. Despite the fact that his kingdom is very far from Babel, these people would say, he has lots and lots of resources, and we should be very privileged to make an alliance with him. That is the purpose of Chizkiyahu, showing these people his storehouses. Now, there's a certain act of submission here, but that submission is tempered to some extent by Chizkiyahu saying how wealthy he is. Babel is a historically important kingdom, but the Assyrian attacks have certainly weakened it, and Chizkiyahu is saying, I am wealthy here, you want to form an alliance with me. Chizkiyahu is actively promoting this alliance formation with the Babylonians. What is the reaction of Yeshayahu to this act, to this formation of an alliance, we see in the remainder of the parak. Pasuk Gimel. Vayavo Yeshayahu hanavi el ha-melech Chizkiyahu vayomer elav. Ma amru ha-anashim ha-ele, ume'ayin yavo elecha? Yeshayahu comes to Chizkiyahu, he said to him, what did these people say to you, and from where do they come to you? Yeshayahu presumably knows the answer, but this is liftoach imo bidvarim, question which will begin the conversation. The end of the perek, vayomer Chizkiyahu, me'eretz rechokau bau elai mi'bavel. They have come to me from a faraway land, from Babylonia. And in some way that implies a sort of tempering of Chizkiyahu's feeling, well, they've come from a very faraway land. Yeshayahu doesn't let up. Pasuk Dalet. Vayomer, ma ra'u beveitecha? What did they say in your house? Vayomer Chizkiyahu, et kol asher beveiti ra'u, lo haya davar asher lo hir'itim ve'otzrotai. Chizkiyahu says, there is nothing in my house that I didn't show them. At least Chizkiyahu here is honest. I showed them everything in my house. Nothing in my treasure houses did I not show them. Vayomer Yeshayahu el Chizkiyahu, Shema Dvar Hashem Tzvakot. Yeshayahu says to Chizkiyahu, listen to the word of God, the Lord of hosts. The idea here is who controls Tzvaot, who controls armies. It is God who controls armies. You ought not to make an alliance with this man, placing all of your reliance on the Babylonians. You ought to make at most a tactical alliance and not a rejoicing type of alliance. Not an alliance which involves such a happiness on your part. The alliance should be, if anything, purely tactical, purely instrumental, and not something that in which you invest so much emotional energy. Pasuk Vav. Hine yamim ba'im v'nisa kol asher beveitecha v'asher atzru avotecha ad hayom hazeh bavel. Lo yivater davar, amar Hashem. Behold, days are coming. All that is in your house and all that your ancestors have gathered up in their treasure houses, all of your things will be carried away to Babel. This is prophecy which is clearly carried out and comes into actuality in the Churban Bayis Rishon when all of the things in Yehuda are gathered away and taken to Babel. So the prophecy here is as a result or in punishment for what Chizkiyahu did or as a reaction to what Chizkiyahu did. All of what Chizkiyahu and his ancestors, the kings, have gathered up will be exiled to Babel. Lo yivater davar, amar Hashem. You show the Babylonians everything, nothing will be left, God says. The pasuk, lo yivater davar, amar Hashem, nothing will be left, God says. Everything that you gathered away will be taken away to Babel. Pasuk Zayin continues this idea, umibanecha asher yetzu mimecha asher tolid yikachu. And the children that you who will go out from you, whom you will give birth to, they will take. Chizkiyahu in the previous chapter placed a lot of emphasis on the idea that he will have children. He will be a man who is able to carry out progeny and have future generations who will also be God worshippers. Here Yeshayahu says the children who go out from you, whom you will generate, they will be taken away to Babel too. Vayu sarisim behechal melech bavel. There's an inherent contrast here. They will be sarisim. Sarisim is someone who cannot have children, a man who's castrated, as temple palace workers in Babylonia were not necessarily able to have children because they had interactions with the women's palace, and the Babylonian king did not want them to be able to engage the women. So they will be sarisim. They will be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babel. The prophecy here is that your children will be carried away, and your and the future generations of you will end, because they will be servants in the house of the king of Babel. So your wealth will be taken away, and your future generations will be taken away. Mibanecha, some of your children, not all of your children, the pasuk says. This is a pasuk which obviously was carried out and reached its realization in the Chorban Bayis Rishon, but this is many, many years after Chizkiyahu. It's approximately 120-some years after the reign of Chizkiyahu was Chorban Bayis Rishon. Chorban Bayis Rishon, 586 BCE. Chizkiyahu is around 700 BCE. And so this is a prophecy of destruction which was for the future. And it expresses the total disapproval of the prophet of the rejoicing of Chizkiyahu over this alliance, which is shown by his showing these people everything in his household. He really didn't necessarily have to do that in order to make an alliance. He could have coordinated with them perhaps an attack on Assyria that will attack at the same time, will attack in the same month, will deal with it on a tactical level, but the rejoicing seems to be the prime reason for the Navi's opposition here. Chizkiyahu accepts the punishment and takes it, quote-unquote, like a man. He says as follows in Pasuk Chet, Vayomer Chizkiyahu el Yeshayahu. Chizkiyahu says to Yeshayahu, Tov dvar Hashem asher dibarta. The word of God which you spoke to me is good. Ki Vayomer ki yeh shalom ve'emet beyamai. There will be peace and truth in my days. Shalom ve'emet here has to be understood as hendiades, two that are one. Shalom and emet work together to mean there will be in true peace in my days, because truth doesn't really have a lot of meaning in this context. And so it makes more sense to understand this as referring to there will be true peace in my days. Chizkiyahu is focused on peace in our time, like Neville Chamberlain to some extent, and he says, at least there will be peace in my time. At least I will not have to suffer this punishment. And so Chizkiyahu seems to be making an alliance here, which gives him an immediate payoff and benefit. Yeshayahu says there are theological negative sides here. There are long-term negative sides here. Chizkiyahu is very much focused on the present and says, Shalom ve'emet beyamai. And this corresponds to the character of Chizkiyahu in some ways, which we've seen in the previous prakim, where the immediate gratification of having been healed is something that he thanks God for. But the destruction of the Assyrian Empire, which removes the Assyrian threat from Yerushalayim, we find no thanks from Chizkiyahu to God, and that can be readily understood. Chizkiyahu is very involved in the politics and the military aspects of the conflict, and he knows that the Assyrians are not totally broken, and the Assyrian Empire continues to exist after this, and so the thanks is not there in Perek Lamed Zayin. But we have to learn from Chizkiyahu here that thanks is coming to God even for limited military victories, even for things which are seem to have a short-term salvation, Hatzala Purta, a small level of salvation, that also requires thanks to God. And here we see Chizkiyahu also focused on the short-term, focused on the immediate, and not taking a long-term view. So Chizkiyahu is someone who is a melech tzaddik, is a righteous king, but not someone whom Chazal see is worthy of being Mashiach. That long-term view, that ability to thank God even for relief which contributes to a long-term relief, but doesn't immediately solve all of our problems in the short term, that ability Chizkiyahu seems to be lacking. The ability to take a long-term view, to see each step of the way as contributing to a long-term payoff. Chizkiyahu is only able to thank God when there's an immediate bang, when there's an immediate event where he's healed. That he can thank God for. But seeing the long-term implications, he's not able to do. And this is an appropriate closing for this section of Yeshayahu. We now move into chapter 40 and following, which deals with very, very long-term issues.